This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We welcome in a two-time Super Bowl champion, won his first ring with the Colts, and then about 3 weeks ago, got ring number two, being the quarterback coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's Clyde Christensen. Coach, appreciate the time. Congratulations.
Zach, great to be with you. Thank you. It was a heck of a lot of fun, I'll tell you.
And how has the celebration been the last two or three weeks?
It's ongoing. It has been a bunch of, it's been outstanding, and, you know, just doing it at home, I think, added something special to it, and just, you know, the town's buzzing still, and so every, you know, where you go, people are happy, and It was great for Tampa Bay. It was great to be in Tampa Bay to do it, and I think that's made it even more special, kind of more long lasting.
How do you compare the experience in 2006 with Indy to what transpired a few weeks ago?
Boy, I don't know how I'd compare them. I just remember Indy. You know, we were a good football team. You had Brady and the Patriots, you know, hanging there, and you had to beat them. We got them at home finally in that championship game, and I do remember that probably the championship game win was almost as big as the Super Bowl win, just because of the rivalry and stuff. And this one was, I won't say surprising, but it was just like a gradual. We were a poor team early, and we just kind of became an average team in the middle of the thing, and then we started playing a little better toward the fourth quarter of this thing, and our schedule got better, and then, you know, and then we go on the run, and we really play pretty darn good football in the playoffs, and win the three road games to get the home Super Bowl game. So it was just really that one was more gradual. That team in Indy, we were good from the beginning, but you still had to get over the hurdle of the Patriots, and so that was really special also.
Now when you reflect back on this season, and you were talking about the slow start, you guys were 7-5. You lose that game to Kansas City in week 12. How much was it now, the lack of a full off season, all that was working against you with COVID, that it was just a matter of time with this group now when you reflect on it?
Yeah, I think it was 100% that. But I think I went into the season going, hey, you know, the kind of lowering expectations, if you will. You always worry, you pick up Tom Brady in the off season, and he's not real used to bad football. And we were playing dead average to below average football that first half of the season. And, you know, I just worried about him, but he was amazingly patient. And I kind of felt like, hey, the second half of the season, and all of a sudden we finished the third quarter of the season and we still weren't doing it. Now I'm going, hey, is it going to happen? Or are we going to have enough time? You know, is this still going to happen? And sure enough, right at the right time, you know, it did kick in. And of course, the New Orleans, Green Bay, Kansas City wins were probably the best football we played all season, and against great opponents, really good opponents. So, you know, but there were some times where I'm laying in bed going, gosh, you know, it's got to hit pretty quick now, or it's, you know, it's going to be over. So it was at the last second. I've said before that I really feel like we didn't peak yet. I really feel like I tried to talk them into scheduling four more games because I think we were four or five more games away from playing our best football. But no, after the parade down the river there, I don't think anyone was wanting to play any more football. So,
Clyde Christensen here with us, the QB coach for the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So would you agree with that Brady assessment that probably next year you guys, I know you win a Super Bowl, so it's a tough standard to judge it by, but at least for the regular season, you'd probably be better, right?
I think we will. I really believe we will. And, you know, one funny story is, so the game ends and we win the Super Bowl and, you know, everything starts flying around and da-da-da, and I don't end up seeing Tom. And so sure enough, the next morning, I get a FaceTime call at 8 in the morning, which we were out late. And it's him, and I'm laying in bed, and I think he's laying in his bed. I got the grandkids with me, and he goes, gosh, I was just thinking this morning. He goes, I really, really think we're going to be much better next year. He said, I think next year we're going to be a good football team, you know. And, you know, so that's how his mind works, and he has the same thought as you. And I really think, you know, we will be better. There's no measuring, you know, to pick up a new quarterback, and especially a guy who's been in the same system 21 years, and bring him into a new system and take away all offseason, any in-person meetings, all those times where you just could get on the same page with him, you know, those were really restricted. And we were having meetings. We were having meetings the off week. The off week hit kind of late for us. We were the last of the off weeks, and that thing hit late. And we were still grinding away. Hey, what can we be good at? What do you like? What don't you like? How do we, you know, maximize these things? And that off week was great for us. We got 2 good weeks of practice. We got some great discussion. I still say, I would tell you, and I think Tom would echo it, that, you know, I went into the Super Bowl off week there, that first week of the Super Bowl 2-week period, and saying, hey, we got a chance to still get better. Like, we're improving. We need practices. You know, the more practices we can get, the better. And that really was the truth of it, that we were just an ascending team that, you know, ascended far enough to get by those last few games, and I don't think we got all the way to the top of what we could have been.
My biggest takeaway from that story, 8 a.m. right after the Super Bowl, Brady's calling you. He's already thinking about the next one.
Yeah, and I said, would you just take a deep breath? I'm trying to survive the grandkids, and the after party with the grandkids was worse than, more taxing than the party itself. So I was just trying to, but that's how his mind works. And that's what the great ones do. That's, Peyton was 365 days a year. He was looking, how do we improve? How do we get better? How do I get better? How do I do things better? And this guy's the same way, that it never turns off, you know. And, you know, he already had some things. I really think I can do this better. I can do this better. You know, man, I got better at this and that, you know. But it's amazing at 43 years old, you know, that he still has that mentality. Young players could learn. I think that's why the young players here, you know, everyone should work with a Peyton or a Tom. Like, every player should get an opportunity to just see how they do business and how they work, because it really is amazing, and there's a message in there for everybody, me included. That just how they work at their craft, and that is amazing.
Clyde Christensen here with us. When it wasn't going well, people are always looking to try to create a storyline, and you had the Brady-BA relationship, and people thought that was contentious. I've talked to Bruce before on this show, right after you guys punched a ticket to the Super Bowl, and he said, I kind of just laughed at all that stuff. What was the feel in the facility when you see all these reports out there that BA and Brady aren't getting along?
Yeah, I thought it was all fabricated, and, you know, BA's BA. BA is going to call you every name in the book and then put his arm on, you know, that's just how he communicates. And I worked for him in 82 at Temple. So I knew, and Tom was amazing. Tom had no sensitivity. I mean, he has no diva to him. Like, you know, he we play bad. Bruce is right. I stunk it up. You know, I got to play a lot better. And so I never saw any, you know, and we also just knew this thing was going to be a long march. You know, this was going to be a long march. And we didn't get distracted. We didn't have a bunch of drama. I think it was more in the media than it really was in the building. And we just kept marching.
Did he ever open up to you about why he elected to leave New England?
Yes. The answer is yes. And the part that I'd share with you probably would be, you know, there was a part of him, the first time I met him, and I had never met him before we picked him up. So all those times we played him in Indy, I had never met him. And so he said, you know, one of the things that really looked fun and challenging to him was what Peyton did at Denver. Like, kind of the same scenario, right? Peyton, now there was an injury involved with Peyton, but Hayden leaves Indy, where he had done magnificent things and turned a city into a football town, and goes to Denver and goes to two Super Bowls, you know. So I think there was something about that challenge that hit him right. Hey, I'm going to go see if I can redo this again somewhere else. I do think that the challenge of that was a huge thing for him. And I think there was just, you know, 21 years is a long time. I think maybe sometimes there's time for a change. I know that he's mentioned several times that he was impressed with it and that looked fun and challenging to him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense to me. My question then would be, you see what he just did at 43, and you guys didn't even think it was the best product as a team. He still wins a Super Bowl. He has 43 total touchdowns. How much longer can he play? Because he still looks really damn good there, Clyde.
Half an hour ago, I was cutting up our individual periods of the Super Bowl week, okay? Our individual periods, we're still doing our fundamentals and taking our drops and throwing footballs and working on footwork and stuff. Just before I got on your show, I was telling a buddy and coach, and I go, it's amazing how hard he was working, right? In 21 years, that's week 21, you know, you say, hey, I'm going to opt out of individual. You know, I don't need individual anymore. But that's not the mentality. That sucker is working. He's working as hard as you can work and getting some stuff done and improving. And the second thing I tell you is that it was impressive. Like, his arm was alive. Like, you probably saw it in the Super Bowl, but his arm was alive. His feet were moving. He didn't, you know, he didn't miss a snap of practice or a game this year at 43 years of age. So I don't see an end in sight. And he sure doesn't act like there's an end in sight. I think he's so confident in his routine and physical, what he's doing physically. I think he's going to be around for a while. Who knows? But that's what I saw. And that, you know, I just happened this evening to be watching the individual from Super Bowl week, and he worked like there was only one uniform left and three guys fighting to get the thing for the Super Bowl. Like, hey, I want to get suited up for this game. I'm going to try and earn a position. That's what he looked like, that rather than a guy who had already won a trillion of them already.
Clyde Christensen here with us. I'm a big Temple guy, being an alum. Now, I wasn't even a thought in the 80s, but you were on BA's staff. How did that connection form where you found yourself in North Broad Street coaching and working for Bruce Arians?
Yeah, special years. You know, that shows you something about Bruce Arians. I think we got six or seven guys who were on that team, that staff back in 82. And he's just a loyal guy. He believes in his guys. He may, you know, we may or may not be better or as good a coach, but he wants his guys who he knows have his back, and they work together, and that's huge for him. So that was one of the things that was attractive to me about Tampa, just the comfortability level that, you know, and even the guys who weren't on that Temple staff, Byron plays for him for X number of years at Pittsburgh. You know, everyone else had some tie. Like, it was all folks that he knew. So that's been pretty good. We had great years on Broad Street there, and you've been on that campus. And back then we fought for everything we could get and fielded some darn good teams with Paul Palmer, and those were great. We were all young. He came out Bear Bryant's staff and got the head coaching job at Temple. I'm glad we didn't kill anybody. We treated it like the Junction Boys, and they laugh now that we tried to kill a couple of them off. But we went hard and coached hard best we knew, and really fun to see Bruce hoist the thing after all these years. You know, that at 68 years of age, I think he was probably 26 or 7 when we went to Temple there, the youngest head coach in America at that time. So that's pretty darn special to see a guy just a ball coach who just keeps coaching ball and whatever, wherever, whoever, whenever, just coach and just keep doing your deal, get a chance to be an NFL coach late in life and then win one at 68 is a pretty cool story.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about Byron Leftwich, because Bruce said he's going to be a superstar coach. What do you think would make Byron Leftwich a good head coach one day?
Yeah, I think he has unbelievable self-awareness. He has a little bit of Bruce's swag to him, but he has a confidence, and it's a and a humility, but it's a confident humility that he just, you know, he goes into every game thinking you're going to score 45 points on it, and he is a bright guy and gets along with players and they respond to him. I'm with Bruce. I think he's going to be a heck of a head coach in this league. He gets around. He's like Bruce. He can get along with anyone. That is, you know, whether it's across racial lines or economic lines or to GMs and presidents and, you know, or the Joe fan in the stands or, you know, or to someone on the street. He just has a nice way of getting along with people. And he did a marvelous job. That was not an easy job this year. That's not an easy job to have a quarterback you can't meet with and you really can't, you know, get started with until opening day. It's hard to mesh that thing. I think everyone thinks that you get Tom Brady or you get Peyton Manning. And I used to always laugh when they say to me, you got the easiest job in the world because he just does everything. Well, yeah, not so fast on the easiest job in the world. Those guys are demanding, you know, and that is a tough job to merge everything together, to get him in their groove and they, you know, to get the whole unit working together. And Byron did a great job with that this year.
Clyde Christensen, as a player, what do you think Jameis Winston still has in this league? What do you think he could still be as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think I'm hoping he gets a good opportunity this year. Maybe it'll be in New Orleans there. I think he's got a lot of football ahead of him, and I think he needs some stability, and hopefully he can stay in the same system with the same coaches. I think he's got a ton of ability. He's tough as nails, and he works his tail off. He works as hard as any guy I've ever coached. I really enjoyed him. I think he would say, and I would probably, you know, I got him, you know, I got a more mature guy by the time I got here. I know he had his moments early, but he has a deep desire to be a really good football player. And I think someone's going to get a good starter and he's going to get another crack at starting. And I think he's going to play good football.
If you guys didn't get Tom Brady and you ran it back with Jameis, what type of team do you think you would have had this past year?
Yeah, I think he was, you know, I think he was coming on. He was doing, the good was really good. We hadn't, you know, last year, like I would tell you that I felt like I failed him because we didn't get the limit. We didn't get the interceptions limited. And it was a, you know, so I think it was still up in the air. He still had to fix those interceptions, you know, the turnovers, giving the ball up. And we didn't get that done. We hit 7-7 last year. And we had a chance with two winnable games, and we threw a couple picks. And so, whatever reason, I didn't get that done with him. But I think now, I think that's a good year. It sounds like talking with him, it's a good year just sitting watching Drew do it, who doesn't turn the ball over a bunch, and just to watch. I think that gives him a chance to just kind of sit back and gave him a year sabbatical, if you will, to watch. How do I win games? How do I move the football? How do I protect the football? And he didn't have that. He came in here and was starting right from the get-go, and he, you know, had some injuries and stuff. So I don't know what it would have looked like. I think if we eliminated the interceptions, his good was really good. So,
well, Coach, hey, we're happy for you. Enjoy the off season, and we'll see if this team could be even better in some capacity next year, as we were talking about. Thanks so much for doing this,
Zach. Thanks for having me. Really a pleasure.
No problem. There's Clyde Christensen. It's a Zach Gelb show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break, and when we do come on back, we got to get to a little news brief. We'll update you on the biggest stories of the day.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
News brief will cover the biggest story of the day, and that is Tiger Woods, who, according to the LA Times, following the car crash, the injuries that he suffered today included a shattered ankle and two leg fractures, one of which was a compound fracture, according to a source familiar with his treatment. Once again, that's from the LA Times. Justin Thomas has looked up to Tiger Woods, and Justin Thomas did get emotional when talking about Tiger's health earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sick to my stomach. You know, it hurts to see one of your, I mean, now my closest friends, you know, get in an accident. And, man, I just hope he's all right. Just worry for his kids, you know. I'm sure they're struggling.
And that's another thing. I wonder how his kids found out. I really hope they didn't find out via social media. But you never know in the world that we live in right now. Now, this crash occurred a few minutes after 7 out on the West Coast. So 10 here on the East Coast. So we didn't find out about it here on the East Coast until 2. So I would hope with the time that did go on from that, that someone, that his kids were able to know about it. Now, with that being said, I did bring up that tweet from 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern, which it's an account with 130 followers. Now, I don't think anyone took that account seriously, but it was correct in what they said. Did maybe one of Charlie's friends see it or the daughter's friends see it and then send it to the kids? We don't know. I would imagine the kids knew before it became public, but you never know. And once again, our thoughts and prayers are with the entire family. John Rahm hopes for a speedy recovery. For Tiger Woods, this courtesy of the Golf Channel.
Sad. You know, I played 9 holes with Tony, and he had it on his phone. He was reading it.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it. No, as if, you know, he hasn't, his body hasn't endured enough. So, I don't know all the facts. I just know he was in an accident and he underwent surgery, or he's in the hospital or something like that. So, you know, just hoping it's as out of this bad situation is the best possible outcome. And, you know, hope he can recover from it and we can see him on the golf course as early as possible. I know he underwent surgery earlier this year, so I hope it didn't damage anything they had done already.
Yeah, and he had the back surgery. He was on with Jim Nantz on Sunday, and he said he hoped he was going to be able to play for the Masters. I would, right? There's no shot he's going to play in the Masters now, one would think, in April, when you just had the 2 leg fractures, an ankle injury, and coming off a back surgery. Who knows at what level if he's ever going to be able to play again? It's too early for us to, I guess, really assume anything. But if you had to make one assumption, yeah, you would think the Masters are out of the equation. So how about that? John Rahm found out from Tony Finau. That's wild. They're just on the golf course and they look down at their phones and they find out about it. Now, 2 totally different situations. But if you recall, when Kobe did pass away, Tiger was actually playing. And I think it was right after the match ended, his caddy, Joey LaCava, told him. I remember seeing a viral video about that, and Tiger was stunned like we all were. So you never know when you're in the public spotlight how you find out about serious news. Obviously, the Kobe thing ended up being fatal, and Tiger, it could have been fatal from what the LA County Sheriff Department did say. Did they say it was the seat cushions, right? And the way that they were structured, it actually ended up saving his life. Let's hear from Tony Finau. He credits Tiger for getting him into golf in the first place and prays that he's okay. This courtesy of the Golf Channel.
He means a lot to this, to the game of golf. I can only speak from my experience. He means a lot to my career. You know, I've said it, I think, time after time. The 97 Masters changed the course of my life, changed the course of my career. Without that event, I probably wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be playing golf. So he definitely changed the course of my life, my career. And but I think I'm one of hundreds of guys out here probably that would say the same thing. So he means a lot to the game, but individually I think he you know, means a lot to us just individually and especially for me.
And let's take you back to Sunday. This is Tiger Woods with Jim Nantz discussing his road to recovery. This courtesy of CBS. Right before we play it, though, there's a reason why I'm playing this. I'm not going to tell you until afterwards, but just listen carefully.
I'm feeling fine. I'm a little bit stiff. I have one more MRI scheduled, so that we'll see if the annulus is scarred over finally, and then I can start doing more activities. But still in the gym, still doing the mundane stuff that you have to do for rehab, you know, the little things, and before I can start gravitating towards something a little bit more.
So as far as golf, what have you done since the surgery? Anything?
I have lengthened my putter.
Okay, right. Starts with that.
Starts with that. You know, I don't have to bend over as far. No, I've gone to the same length as my sand wedge.
So,
because I do a lot of putting drills. You know, blading, hitting the equator with my sand wedge, and I figured, well, if I do a lot with that, why just lengthen my putter to the same length? So I did, and it helped.
So Trace, when you hear that, sounds like a normal Tiger interview, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's the way that when I watch it, I thought as well. Now, when you did see him, he looked exhausted. He looked like he was absolutely just exhausted. And because of his past and what happened with 2017 and other things as well, people are going to assume that he was on something in that moment. I've seen those assumptions been made. And then today with the car crash, people rush to judgment and they go back to those photos and the videos from the interview. And I even had someone that covers golf reach out to me today. And I asked about it. He said, yeah, he didn't look right on Sunday. When you listen to him, he sounds fine. And the guy just had surgery in January. So who knows? You know, maybe he's on painkillers. I don't know. But Alex Villanueva, who is the L.A. County Sheriff, he said that today, Tiger, they had no reason to believe that he was impaired. Let's listen up.
He was conscious, and that's the extent of that. There was no evidence of impairment, so subsequent to that, we're not going to make any, there was no effort to draw blood, for example, at the hospital. No evidence of impairment at this point in time.
Now, just even if, I don't know if he was on something on Sunday, if he was on a painkiller, or if he was just tired, didn't get sleep, whatever it was, today's Tuesday. Now, do you maybe think, okay, if that did occur on Sunday, something else could have been taken on Tuesday? But from what we're told, he wasn't impaired, so I'll believe that. And then the other part of this is from Fox News, that he was, I guess, late for the second part of this shoot on Tuesday because Monday is with Dwayne Wade and David Spade. And then on Tuesday, he was, I guess, late and rushing to get there to go meet Justin Herbert and Drew Brees. And from the article we read in the LA Times, this is a dangerous road. So if you're not familiar with it, it is plausible you could just crash your car if you're unfamiliar with it and drive in at a pretty fast rate if you are late. Let's hear the opening statement. This is from the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva. This is the opening statement on the Tiger Woods crash.
Today at 7:12 in the morning, Lomita Sheriff Station received a call of a solo vehicle collision in Hawthorne Boulevard, north of Palos Verdes Drive. We arrived on scene at 7:18 a.m. and discovered a solo vehicle collision, and the sole occupant was, again, Tiger Woods, and deputies at the time, they did not see any evidence of impairment, anything that of concern. Obviously, the life-threatening measures that had to be taken for the occupant of the vehicle, and Chief Osby will speak to that regard. And it was a solo vehicle. The vehicle traveled several hundred feet from the center divider at the intersection and rested on the west side of the road in the brush.
And let's get one more update from the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, on the details of the damage from the crash.
Well, the interior of the cabinet of the vehicle was more or less intact. The front end was totally destroyed. The bumpers, everything was destroyed. Airbags deployed, all of that. And however, thankfully, the interior was more or less intact, which kind of gave him the cushion to survive what's otherwise would have been a fatal crash.
So that was the way they worded it, the interior of the car. It could have been a fatal crash if it wasn't the way that that car is designed. So that's the latest on the Tiger Woods situation. If we get more before we do say goodbye at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, we will obviously keep you in the loop.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
I like Peter Fagan a lot, the president of the Bucks. That was him. Joined us. Exclusive interview the day when Giannis Antetokounmpo did sign the Supermax. He did say, though, as the president of the Bucks, we would have a Zach Gelb day because of how big of a proponent I was for Giannis staying in Milwaukee and taking the Supermax with all the hashtags and the movement I was starting on one of our great affiliates, 1250 The Fan in Milwaukee. We haven't heard anything since about the Zach Gelb day at Fiserv Forum. Now, I'm all right with waiting until we get full capacity crowds back. But if it doesn't get done this season, the chances of it happening afterwards, I don't know. So here's what I'll say. Right? Don't we need a little compromise? I'm pretty good at making compromises. Notice, myself and Amy Lawrence, she was a little bit chilly because I like the studio to be a little bit colder. Amy puts the studio up at like 76 degrees. She wants this thing like a sauna, I guess, in the winter. So I said, Amy, all right, every day when I leave, I'll put the temperature down to your liking. But in return, when you leave, you put the temperature down to, you know, or, down to my liking. And for me, I put it up to her liking, whatever it was. I don't need to get too technical there. And that compromise has been working. There's only one day Amy forgot, but hey, it's expected. There's going to be a day that I forgot. Now, I did forget, but I had a system of checks and balances here. I texted Stu one night, Ryan Tracy. Did he tell you about this? I go, hey, I forgot to change the air back to the proper settings in the studio. Can you run in during the break of JR show and fix that for me? So,
good for Stu for being a good company guy.
Oh, he's a team player, Stu Kovacs.
Absolutely.
You need a Stu Kovacs at every radio station.
He's the James Harden of CBS Sports Radio, if you will. Dishing out assists. Oh, on the Nets. The James Harden version of the Nets.
I was going to say, Stu doesn't look fat when he was, if you're saying James Harden with the Rockets. Stu didn't throw his teammates underneath the bus. But now, you're saying he brings everyone together as James Harden is bringing Kyrie Irving together with him and they're being able to coexist and he's being the team player.
James Harden setting up Kyrie, setting up KD. There is Stu setting you up to look like the good guy.
Okay. That's good to know. So, could I make a little compromise with the Bucks? Maybe I'll have to get my my guy Peter Fagan on the hotline. We won't bug him right now. We'll bug him when we actually need to have a big story, but that will come back up. If he sent me a pair of Giannis Antetokounmpo shoes to be positioned somewhere in our CBS Sports Radio studios that are signed, you know, you have to write thank you, Zach, or maybe you write thank you, Zach, or get Giannis to write hashtag sign the Supermax, hashtag keep the Greek freak and get Giannis to sign it. I'd take a pair of Giannis Antetokounmpo shoes. I think they'd look better than, let's see, looking around these studios. Oh, this Tiki Barber game ball. Come on. That guy was some good running back, right? Just get rid of that. Or maybe take the Yankees hat out of here with the books. And we put some Giannis Antetokounmpo shoes here in the CBS Sports Radio. Or you know what? Shoes could be a little bit too much of an ask. How about just a signed jersey? Doesn't have to be game worn. Regular Giannis Antetokounmpo signed jersey to Zach Gelb. Thanks for keeping me in Milwaukee.
Maybe customize on, like, you know, hashtag keep the, like, maybe use one of the hashtags. Ooh. As like the last name, like a customized 34 Bucks jersey.
So either I need the Bucks jersey signed by Giannis, or I want my own Zach Gelb Milwaukee Bucks jersey when I'm there at the game, being presented, honored at halftime, and then maybe have me do like a half-court shot or something like that.
So the Bucks are allowing 1,800 fans currently at Fiserv Forum. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go with about 2,000 people there, or would you rather wait for, you know, until it's like 18,000?
So we'd have to travel there. So we'd have to fly,
well,
I would imagine. Yes,
probably.
How long would... Let's see. New York City to Milwaukee. Driving. If I had to, how long, if you had to guesstimate, how long do you think that is?
15 hours, maybe?
13 hours and 48 minutes.
All right. So if we leave after the show, 10 Eastern, we'll get there by 11 a.m. Well, next day.
Would you want to do the driving?
Well,
are you a good driver?
I like to think so.
So that's a no.
No, yes, I am. Okay. I've gotten in one crash my life.
Well, that's always not the best judge because it could be from someone else, you know.
Right. That is true.
But let me just say this.
Sure.
If I have to say bad, average, good, great, you in terms of a driver are what?
In between good and great. I'm pretty good. Not to toot my own horn.
Now if I asked your girlfriend, what would she say?
She better say great compared to her driving. Oh my goodness.
She's not a good driver?
No, she is not.
Okay.
She's from Jersey and she lives in Maryland right now. Two of the worst
now
combos you can have.
I would get on a plane for that. I look at the mileage here. 881 miles. I like you. We get along. Can you imagine both of us in a car for 900 miles? Oy.
Versus like a two-hour flight,
yeah,
or
whatever
something
it
like
is.
That.
Maybe we'll get Leroy Butler to send us a private jet.
Wow.
I'm sure Leroy's got some connections.
Okay, I'm in.
Well, how about the Bucks? They pick us up in the team plane.
When are they got to come into New York next? That's right. Maybe we'll
it's a good idea.
Triple mask up. We'll obviously be safe, but we can get on the team flight.
Yeah, that
maybe
probably
when
wouldn't happen.
Swinging around to New York.
So let's see Bucks Nets schedule. Let's see the next time that happens. Oh, well, The whole schedule is not released yet because of how the NBA is structured. So you only got a few games left. So they don't have a Nets game schedule currently right now. Let's just see the Knicks. Knicks-Nets schedule. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. I think it's going to be the same thing here. Well, this went south pretty quickly. But anyway, it's a good idea. It's a work in progress. March Madness is right around the corner. And this weekend, CBS has two full days of college hoops triple headers. The action starts on Saturday at noon Eastern with a battle in the Big 12 between Texas and Texas Tech. So you got a little Shaka Smart and Chris Beard. Then on Sunday, three more games capped off with the late afternoon Big Ten showdown when Iowa takes on Ohio State. Two college hoops triple headers on Saturday and Sunday beginning at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The road to the Final Four is on CBS. Let's go to Joe in Florida next up on CBS Sports Radio. Joe, what's shaking, my main man?
Hey, what's going on, Zach? I'm a second-time caller, and I just want to say that everybody listening on air, we should start a hashtag to get Zach a free jersey or a pair of sneakers from the Greek Freak.
Right?
And that's all I need to say. Well, Thank you.
Well,
love
Joe,
your show.
That's why you're my main man. I appreciate that. What would my hashtag be? I think I was pretty good with sign the Supermax, hashtag keep the Greek Freak. What the heck? Get Gelb a jersey? That would be pretty lame. Give Gelb a jersey? Nah. Greek Freak Gelb? No. We got to come up with something.
I know. I'm trying to work on the alliteration in my head. It's a little tough to go jersey and ZG. But
yeah, that's true.
Get ZG a jersey.
No, that's so lame. Hashtag do your job. That's what I would say to the Bucks. I'm just saying. I'm not giving myself the entire pie chart of Zach Gelb is the one that kept Milwaukee, kept Giannis in Milwaukee. But I think our push, I wonder if Giannis got to know about it, right? I would think so, because he had a lot of people tweeting him, hashtag keep the Greek Freak, hashtag sign the Supermax.
That's a great question. Like, if you go, like, if you're on a Zoom media call, hey, Zach Gelb here, CBS Sports Radio, what if he goes, oh, yeah. You know, a lot of Bucks fans are tweeting me because of you.
Oh, you're the jackass, right?
Wow. Maybe. Hey, Giannis, you know,
hey,
you're
that'd be good publicity if Giannis called me a jackass.
That's true.
So I'm just saying, Peter Fagan, who we love, came on the show right when Giannis Antetokounmpo signed the Supermax. Clearly listens to the show in Milwaukee on The Fan. We've had him on a few times. Has been kind to us. He's the one. Now, I may have asked him the question, but he's the one that said there's going to be a Zach Gelb day in Milwaukee. If we can't do that because of COVID, if I can't be at a Marquette basketball game checking out my guys Steve Wojciechowski and Dwayne Killings, if I can't catch a Brewers game and be going down the slide in the stadium, if we can't maybe be taking a little trip to Lambeau Field to catch some Packers and have the Zach Gelb day at the Fiserv Forum for a Bucks game, then I think there should be a jersey that should be sent or some shoes. That's it, right? I think that's a fair demand, a fair ask, right? They were the ones that said it, not me.
You keep your star player in town in exchange for, yeah, signed jersey or signed pair of shoes. I'll take that. Who's not signing? I am running right now to sign on that dotted line.
I had people from the city tweet me saying, you should get a key to the city. I had people tell me I would drink for free for the rest of my life in Milwaukee. You know what? Now with COVID, and how we're one of two shows that are in the studios, maybe we should just move this shop and this headquarters to Milwaukee. We could drink for free and get cheese curds and all that. Would you be on board?
Yeah, I'm in. Cheese curds are delicious.
Cheese curds, what I call them, cruds? Cruds. Eh, close enough.
I wasn't sure if that was slang or not, so you would know better than me.
I have no clue.
Cheese curds are very good. I'm in. Yeah. I'm in.
Or maybe just a life supply of Spotted Cow. You ever had Spotted Cow, the beer?
No, I have not. Not very
Spotted Cow is a great beer.
Ooh, okay.
It's one of my favorite beers ever.
Wow.
It's in the top five.
Mount Rushmore, huh?
Yeah, oh. Well, it would be four then, but yeah.
Well, you know.
Mount Rushmore, sure.
Okay, boom, top four.
Spotted Cow is in the Mount Rushmore of Zach Gelb beers. Now, the other one, the Heady Topper, anytime I go to Vermont, first stop convenience store, I need a case of Heady Toppers. All right, real quickly, LeBron James says the conversation surrounding his minutes is getting overblown.
I mean, I'm resting now. I'm sitting here talking to you guys. I'm resting when I get in my car and head home. I'm resting when I get home. I'll rest tomorrow. You know, I think this whole narrative of, you know, LeBron needs more rest, or I should take more rest, or I should take time here, has become a lot bigger than what it actually really is.
LeBron also says everyone needs rest after the short turnaround from last season.
I've never talked about it. I don't talk about it. I don't believe in it. You know, we all need more rest. I mean, this is a fast turnaround from last season, and we all wish we could have more rest. But, you know, I'm here to work, and I'm here to punch my clock in and be available to my teammates. And if I'm hurt or if I'm not feeling well, then we can look at it then. But I have nothing but honest people around me, but I'm also honest with myself as well. And, you know, me having the love for the game and me being able to be available to my teammates is more important than anything.
I find this whole conversation funny because earlier in the week, everyone's complaining about from Sunday, Paul George not being able to go 35, 36 minutes when he was already at 33 minutes, and people hating that. But now, because without Anthony Davis, we've seen the Lakers go 1-3. All of a sudden, we need to rest LeBron James. LeBron knows his body. He may not admit when he needs a breather, but he knows it. He's not going to do anything that risks that team getting another championship. But I will say this. I said this last year, and I know now there's a trifecta in Brooklyn, but for the most part, the league is dynamic duos. Anthony Davis is the MVP of the Lakers. I know he's not been great this year, and I think LeBron's the MVP of the league, so that can't get a little bit confusing. But Anthony Davis, in games where he scores at least 29 points in his Lakers career, the Lakers are 31-5. And without him, right now, these last four games, they're 1-3, and they just lost to the Wizards, which was unacceptable. So you got to get AD healthy, and we'll see if they can repeat.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.